from our pastor and our elder today, and we pray that you would inspire them through what you would have them to speak with us. I pray that our hearts and our ears and our eyes would be open to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Good morning. You guys doing well this morning?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, David Green, Rick Wood, and I work in high school youth ministry, which is a blast. It's a challenge. Really, really enjoy it. So, there's anytime I get to speak with, a group of kids that maybe I'm not as familiar with. Like, I'll pop into middle school sometimes. I always value establishing some sort of knowing in the room, like a relationship, like, hey, I want you guys to know me, so I'll tell you a little bit about myself. But I also want to know you guys and stuff, and so I was just thinking, it might feel a little youthy when I do it, but I'd like to ask you guys a few questions and just dialogue for a minute or two so we know each other a little bit. And so the first question, it's the most important question, I believe. It's the quickest way to know somebody, to really know somebody, and that is through food. So simply put, what are, and you can just throw your hands up if you're bold and courageous and want to answer this question, what are some of your favorite foods?
A good gumbo.
A good gumbo?
Popcorn.
Yeah. Popcorn? Okay. What do you?
Artichokes for me.
Ooh, nice. Nice. Artichokes. Anybody else?
Artichoke.
Artichoke? Another artichoke fan in the house?
Yeah. All
Italian. Perfect. Avocados? Yeah. That's good. Some good guac. Oh, solid. Anybody else? How about over here?
Ribeye.
Ribeye? You said that, sir? What's your name?
Jared.
We're going to be best friends from here on out. That is hands down my favorite food. It's a good
lobster very well.
What's that?
It goes very well with lobster.
Good man right here.
Surf and turf.
This is a wise class.
Any seafood in Louisiana.
Okay. Awesome. Any seafood in Louisiana. Other than that. Anybody else? Anybody else got any food?
Chocolate.
All things chocolate. That's good. Dark chocolate, milk chocolate, anything. Doesn't matter as long as it's chocolate. Awesome. What about one more question? Favorite vacation spots?
The beach.
What, any specific beach?
No, just sand, hot
sand. You go down to Panama City much at all? No? Okay, that's where I'm from, Panama City, Florida.
Destin.
Destin, nice. Yeah, a little classier than Panama City, but. Any other fun vacation spots?
Hawaii.
I am jealous. Key West. Love it. Anything else? Cool. Well, thank you guys for sharing. Just to get in a little bit more detail about myself, I'm from Panama City, Florida, as I mentioned just a minute ago. Born and raised in the church and had no relationship with Jesus and was exposed to both ends of the spectrum of church. My mom went to a more charismatic church. My school was affiliated with a Baptist church. I had a wide background of church, but zero relationship. After I finished college, I came up here to work. I did construction on my uncle's house, and being raised in the South and not having a relationship with Jesus, the most natural thing to do on Saturday night is, if you don't have a church already, is call someone you know and go, hey, where do you go to church? Because it's just what I did. I went to church even though I didn't have a relationship. So I did that once I got up here. My cousin was in town at the time, and she said, well, just come with me to Grace Chapel. And I came here, and it was the first time that I heard the word preached unashamedly, and I think for those of you who have experienced that here with Steve, it speaks to something that's designed in us, and I fell in love with Jesus, like, because I was actually meeting Jesus for the first time, and I went and shook Steve's hand and said, hey, you don't know me, I'm here visiting, I've never experienced anything like this. If I lived here, I would go to church here. And he's like, okay, cool, thanks for the compliment. And then about 2 weeks later, God made it really clear, you're moving to Nashville, so I moved up here and got involved with Grace, involved with volunteering in youth. And 4.5 years ago, I came on staff as the high school youth director, I think you would call it, and then I was ordained not too long ago, and I'm the high school youth pastor. So that's my little bit of testimony. And I'm married, been married for a little more than 6 years. I had my first baby 5 months ago. Her name is McKinley. She is a bundle of joy, except for this morning, because she did not sleep very well at all last night. Which, if you experience a foggy me in any capacity, it's a little bit due to that, and I apologize. But, that's me.
All right. And I'm Rick Wood. I've got a
semi-similar background. I did not know the Lord at all as a child. I think I was 30 when I finally was born again, baptized and born again. And then I spent the next 20, 25 years trying to figure out what it meant to be a Christian man in America. Going to church, looking at the facades, looking at the other guys, trying to figure out, you know, who's got it together and who doesn't, and found out that most of them did not have it together. And I came to Grace Chapel one Sunday. My wife and I were kind of looking at churches, and we had about four on the short list. I came to Grace, and I said, that's it. This is the one. And so it's been a wonderful journey, growth journey, and I'm sure that most of you are in a similar situation, different points of the journey. And I can't just say enough about this church. In fact, when I came on board, we had a ministry that we were working with the South Sudanese. I don't know if you all know the Lost Boys, the story of the Lost Boys. And Steve just had such a great heart. I just said, look, man, we've got to do something. There's some problems going on here with these guys. And he said, okay, well, let's go and do an assessment. So I went out with one other guy. We did an assessment, I think, in 2006, went to South Sudan. As you know, how many have been to South Sudan on vacation? it's a tinderbox always. It's just always something going on. And I came back and I said, well, Steve, I think there's a place for a church, a clinic, and a school there. And they need some, I think we put in about three wells while we were there. But I came back and I said, okay, I think we could do it. Well, how much, Rick? And I quoted this price and he said, let's do it. And I went, well, wait a minute. I have no clue what I'm doing here. You know, I'm more of an administrator. I used to work at a university in Nashville for about 22 years, and my background was mostly administration and IT. So I'm going, okay, how do I get buildings from this country to this country? And this one's in 1000 AD, and that one's in 2000 AD. So it was just a wonderful blessing for the whole church and for the people there in Sudan. David, at 24 years old, we recruited him. He actually volunteered. And he spent 4 to 5 months in South Sudan with one other young man to dig footers and help get everything ready for the structures to come in. And so how many times have you been there? Three or four times?
I think I've been there five times.
Okay. Same with us. So anyway, that's how we know each other. We got put together here recently. This is only our second time together speaking to a STEPS class. But he is like a son. He is just amazing. I know he hates me when I say this, but I always called him Peter because he was the rock. He, you know, when everything else was going crazy in that area, he was just steady and kept the his eye on the ball and all that. So, all right. So anyway, I'm going way down off the track here. I am married. I've been married 38 years. I've got three children that are grown. One is a critical care nurse at Sarah Cannon. One is a physician assistant down in Birmingham. I've got a son in grad school for PT right now. And I really don't care what happens to the health system because I'm covered. I do care, especially. My wife is named, her name's Kathy. Maybe some of you know her, but just a wonderful, godly woman helped bring me along to a point where instead of Christmas being about Santa Claus and Easter Bunny about Easter, I truly believe that. I have a wonderful relationship with the Lord. He is number one in my life. And I just can't say enough about what this church has done for me personally. So that's about me.
Cool. All right. So I guess now we're going to get into our teaching material this morning and walk you guys through that. So number one there, sharing your faith is a matter of obedience. Sharing your faith is a matter of obedience. I love, you see kind of knitted into the fabric of the church and the culture here at Grace is this obedience factor when it comes to engaging with sharing your faith and just going and doing what God calls us to do. I think Sudan is a great example of that. that was when you look back on it, it was a matter of obedience, and a couple other things. But there's our scripture there from Mark about going and preaching the gospel to every creature. There's another scripture you'll hear around here a lot, and go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so the culture here, and Steve really at the tip of that spear is just this is not an option. This is not so often we run into a mentality of this is something that's reserved for missionaries or for the elite Christians or the pastors, but everybody is called. If you are a believer, if you are a follower of Jesus, then part of what we're called to do then is to go and share that faith with everyone. And so I love that everywhere you look in Grace Chapel, you see that. It is what we're called to do.
Okay, number two, sharing your faith is a matter of being ready. It indicates, the scripture says, always be ready to give a defense or a reason to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Like you said, the next four things are all about your mind, your preparation, so that you're ready to actually speak to someone about your faith. Sharing your faith, number three, sharing your faith is a matter of being available or being intentional. Matthew said the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. And there is no shortage of the harvest. And just a quick little story here. You know, this won't always be about Sudan, but this is just a really good example here. Again, I didn't know what I was doing. David didn't know what he was doing. And we built enough credibility over the last several years to be able to now try to pour into them and try to share with them the gospel in word, not just in action, because most of what we had been doing was in action. So we found a Jesus Film crew that not just happened to be there. God had them there, but in South Sudan, nothing is available. Nothing is typically around that area. And so we hired a Jesus Film team to come in. Most of these people, when the claim to fame that we had with them is we'd take a picture of them on their phones and show it to them because they'd never seen their image before, most of these people. They had definitely never seen a movie. So when the movie was set up out in a big pasture and there were probably about 1,000 people. There's only about 1,200 people in the town at that time. About 1,000 people came to it. And at the end of the showing, 800 of them gave their lives to Christ. So, and that it just blows me away that was what they were looking for. That's what they needed. So, again, if we had not been ready, if we had not been obedient, if we had not been available, then none of that would have happened. Number four, sharing your faith is a matter of prayer. The point here is that no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. So we need to always pray that the people that we want to share our faith with, number one, has the ability to believe, that God gives them the ability to believe in the need for a Savior. And my dad was a Marine. He was he fought at Iwo Jima, Okinawa, survived. But he was hard as nails, and he just felt like there were a lot of ways to get to heaven. So for 20 some odd years, I used to pray a lot for him. He passed away this last April at 89. But he, I have to say, I never found out whether he actually accepted the Lord, but I just truly believe that the Lord is faithful to those who pray for the lost, especially for their families. And so, you know, just, if you've got a similar situation, just lift them up in prayer every day, every single day. Mm-hmm. So the whole thing about all of these is that God uses the least of us, me, to impact the people around us. And so you don't, like you said, you don't have to be a missionary. You don't have to be professionally trained or a theologian or whatever. It's just us. It's normal people who are going to make a difference in the lives of those around us.
So number five there, sharing your faith is a matter of being compassionate. Our scripture says this, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. So Jesus and his disciples were constantly moved with compassion. I always like that. If you look at compassion as it makes an appearance in scripture, especially as it relates to Jesus, there's usually compassion associated with action and movement. And so I always like to use, I'm not a gifted person when it comes to being compassionate, is the way that I phrase it. And so I always use this idea of being compassionate as a good diagnosis tool. I believe it was Dallas Willard who said that look at your worst relationship and it tells you something about your relationship with God. And so we all can think of people that are they're easy to be compassionate towards, but then you can probably think of people that we kind of maybe think of as sandpaper who are, it's a little bit more challenging to be compassionate towards them. And so that is always a diagnosis tool. Like my level of ability to be compassionate towards that person, that's not as easy to be compassionate towards. It tells me something about my relationship with God. But at the end of the day, if what I believe is true, then it should drive me to a place of being compassionate towards every single person I encounter. Because like the scripture says here, they're just lost sheep with no shepherd. So it's being compassionate. Number six, sharing your faith is a matter of being bold. It's a matter of being bold. We can be bold, excuse me, in the sharing of our faith for a lot of different reasons, but knowing what we believe is true should fuel our boldness. And sometimes people will come and say, like, okay, can you give me some pointers for public speaking? And it's not because I'm a gifted public speaker. I think it's just because I am comfortable in front of people for the most part, and unless there was like 1,000 more of you, that might be a little intimidating for me because I'm not used to that number, but I'm comfortable. So people will say, hey, like, so give me some tips for speaking publicly. Like, it terrifies me. And I always get the pleasure of telling them, actually, back when I was in college, it terrified me. I was that person, I don't know if you guys have ever experienced this, the person who spoke and they were so incredibly nervous and uncomfortable that they affected the entire room and make you feel nervous and uncomfortable. I had the note cards and I couldn't look at anybody, so I had to put parentheses, look up at, because that was like, and back down, and I was stuttering and sweating, and it was, I wish I had video just so I could look back every now and then and have a good laugh, but that was me. That was me as a public speaker. As you can see, I'm not the most gifted public speaker, but I'm not doing any of those things currently in front of you. And a lot of that is attributed to what I get to talk about fuels my boldness. I'm not nervous because what I'm talking about is truth. And so if we can make that connection, the boldness will come through every single time we share our faith. We don't cower and fear because we can be bold knowing that we're sharing truth when we share our faith. So it's a matter of being bold.
Yeah. I think his shyness is gone now.
A little bit.
Number seven, sharing your faith is a matter of being diligent. A worker who does not need to be ashamed. We do not need to be workers who are ashamed, that we also are rightly dividing the word of truth, which means we just need to know what we believe. And as we try, just as Christ came to the earth to point others to the Father, we're supposed to try to point everyone to Christ. And so it's really important that we know what we believe, and that there are so many programs, as you all have probably seen already, this class being one, then there's steps two and steps three, and there's men's ministry and women's ministry. There are so many programs here at the church to help you do that, to help you achieve that, to help you get that confidence of being able to speak boldly for your faith and to do it unashamedly. How many men here came to the men's pathways, Ironman, this past Monday? Okay. You guys know, I mean, we had 300 men or more in this church all one night worshiping together and listening to a great speaker. And I'm telling you, if this is one of those things where you guys can plug into, and it's just, you can't even express the feeling of what it's like as a man to be around other godly men. You know, the women always, they've never have a problem networking and talking and getting things. The guys are a whole different story. Okay, number 8. Sharing your faith is a matter of asking simple questions. There's a movie, it's been a couple of years now, War Room. Anybody of you see War Room? Okay. I just remember this one aspect of, I think it was her name Clara? Character. She was talking to this younger woman, and the woman was having problems with her husband in their marriage, and so what Clara did was she just specifically was saying, so what's going on in your life? What's happening? What are you feeling? What are you seeing? And how do you feel about that? And I think the point of this whole questions thing is to really be effective at speaking to someone about their faith, about even counseling them or helping to share your faith with them, is you got to know where they are. Because, I mean, there's a big spectrum of, you know, from baby Christian to mature Christian, and there's a need all in that whole timeline. And I think questions just help you get to that point where you can pinpoint where you need to speak to the people.
Yeah. Number 9, sharing your faith is a matter of sharing God's truth. So you've got 10 commandments there, and I think that this does a good job of walking or showing you how to walk someone through, okay, just you have sinned, we've all sinned, and that's just truth at the end of the day. And that's a super valuable way to talk to some people. How many of you guys, real quick, went to the Apologetics Conference that we had a few weeks ago? Handful of you guys, awesome. So one of the things that they drove home that I loved, and they kept on coming back to it, was when people say, hey, why are you a Christian? A lot of us want to share our testimony, and that's not necessarily wrong, but at some point, boiling it all down and communicating, I'm a Christian because it's true, is an important part of sharing our faith. If it's just something that at the end of your testimony, it's real easy to go, well, that sounds nice for you, or that sounds true for you. What it does is it plays into the growing movement of relativism, which is like, that's true for you, but I have different truth or whatever. And so there is no absolute truth in that whole concept. And so it's important, yes, share your testimony. We're told in Scripture to share our testimony. But when you do, it's so important that at some point we communicate, but it is true. That's a big factor for me, that I believe in Jesus because he is real. He is a real living God, and my faith is true. And it's such a combative tool, not to beat anybody, but to engage with loving conversations with people who believe that there is no absolute truth. Okay, so yeah. It's a matter of sharing God's truth. And I think this is one of my pet peeve topics, too, because people in the relativism movement will tell you that there is no such thing as absolute truth. And that drives me crazy because that is an absolute truth statement. Anyways, that's all. We'll move on.
Well, and it's uncomfortable. It's sometimes it can be uncomfortable to share that truth because it can be convicting to that other person. But I can tell you, if a few people hadn't done that in my life and put me, you know, on my heels, mm-hmm. I probably wouldn't be here today. Mm-hmm. So somebody risked a relationship or my scorn or whatever. So that I could hear the truth, and that truth did finally settle in.
I should say too, like, just since you guys don't know me that well, I say it drives me crazy. I love those people. I forgot I'm not sitting in front of my high school students who know me. I don't mean any disrespect. Like, it just frustrates me because I can see people getting robbed in that belief system. Yeah. Just want to put that out there. Apologize.
All right, number 10, sharing your faith is a matter of proclaiming God's love for people. You know, it's hard to share love with someone that you don't love. I mean, it's hard to share God's love because we know what God's love is. We've read it in the Scripture. Most of us have put it right here. We know how powerful it is. But what about those that have never read the Scriptures, that don't know? You know, our country is just 50% almost divided over here and over here right now, and there's such friction. You know that we're going to see more and more of that over the next couple of years as things play out. And I think the important thing is that it's hard to headbutt somebody into the kingdom. You know, we need to show our love for them. We need to be a peacemaker. We need to, I think one of my, I'm kind of like you, it's really hard to, it's really hard for me to come close and love someone that's not lovable. And so that is one of my prayers almost every single day is, Lord, give me the ability to love like you love, to love them like you love them. And that's a difficult thing, but it also is one of those things that it's the number one thing we should be doing. It's the heart of the gospel.
Mm-hmm. All right, number 11, sharing your faith is a matter of explaining how one can be saved. So repent, believe, receive, confess, all those things there on your notes. You have an example prayer of how to pray with somebody who's going, yes, I'm ready to receive Christ as my Savior. And so it's good to know that we are, the nature of sharing our faith is at some point we'll encounter somebody who goes, okay, I'm down to, I want to accept Jesus as my Savior. And to be ready for that moment, because it is a big moment. It's not what our faith is boiled down to, but it's such a pivotal, like literally pivotal moment where we're repenting and turning towards something brand new, that there is so much like pressure, it seems like, in that moment. I remember being young and I think I was in high school, maybe in college, and I still wasn't really in a relationship with Jesus. I was just kind of going through the motions, and I wanted somebody to be saved, and I shared Jesus with them, and they're like, cool, what do I do next? And I went and found a pastor because I didn't know what that moment looked like, and I was pretty sure the only pastors reserved the power to do the magical prayer thing or whatever. So I had made it something that it wasn't in my brain, and it's not magical. It's very relational, and so it makes sense if we're going to share our faith that we are also equipped and ready for that moment when they go, cool, I'm down. Will you pray with me? Absolutely, I'll pray with you. And so here's some good example prayers and notes on that as well. Sharing your faith is a matter of being humble and honest. Humble and honest. So there's a lot of great notes there. This is one that someone told me when I was when I first came to Grace. Evangelism is just one beggar telling another beggar where to get bread. And I think that's so wise. There is, I think I've experienced this. I don't know if you guys have, but once you say, okay, I'm a believer, I want to receive Jesus as my Savior, I want to be a full-time follower of Jesus, unashamed, all that stuff, there feels like this pressure, and we could talk about what it is or where it comes from for a while, but at the end of the day, the pressure results in sort of pushing us to bolster ourselves up as though now, well, I'm a believer, so I have all the answers. And that's not true, first of all. We don't have all the answers. We're all growing in our faith. And I would suggest if you find yourself trying to engage with people in such a way that it might be categorized as fear of man, and that might be something that God would like to deliver you from. But here's the value of honesty, is it makes you a human. It makes you relatable. And in a society where Christians are, by outsiders, categorized as really weird people, it's valuable to maintain some level of relatability to those people. And so if we feel the need to, like, bolster ourselves up and like, I have all the answers and I'm so super spiritual, or, like, whatever the thing is that we're trying to portray, it really diminishes our relatability. And if we diminish our relatability, then we're basically cutting off and killing opportunities to love on people who are outside of Christian circles, and we've made it about what we appear to be inside of Christian circles. So being honest with just where you're at. Now, if you do have a lot of answers, you can be honest with that too. It's not about, like, going to the other end of the spectrum and be like, I don't know. Like, if you know, then share that. But, yeah, so being honest.
Yeah, just to piggyback on that, I think honesty... another word that could have been added to that was transparency. Because we all know of someone who has said, well, I stopped going to church because there were a bunch of hypocrites in there. Or, you know, I don't want to go in there. You know, what's the old saying of, you know, church is not for, it's not a resort for saints. It's a hospital for those seeking redemption. We're all in the journey somewhere along the continuum, and it is a journey. We know that there is not a destination there. And so, you know, there's baby Christians at our church that are still in the throes of the battle. You know, whether it's pornography, whether it's alcohol abuse, whether it's drugs, whatever their sin thing is, they're still in the middle of it. And they're coming to church to try to overcome that. So when someone says, you know, there's a bunch of hypocrites there, well, you know, yeah, there are. I mean, I've met some, and they're truly here to network and do business with, you know, some of their buds here. But there are those who are truly trying to do that. So sometimes we just have to, we have to not act like we've all got it together. Like I mentioned earlier, I mean, there are a lot of men in my life that I just really put up there pretty high as being a mentor to me, and a lot of them crashed and burned because they weren't being transparent. They thought they had the answers, like you were saying, but they weren't living the answers. Sorry.
That's good. That's good stuff.
There's a section, you have a supplemental section that we're going to let you all kind of go on your own, but there was just a point I wanted to make starting at number 6. It's where we start with the Asian words. There's, you know, number 6 is salvation. Sometimes we get into all of these religious terms, and they do have important meaning to them, but sometimes we can get lost in them. So I just kind of wanted to go over really the more important parts about these words. So number 6, salvation is just to be made whole and to be forgiven. Sanctification, number 7, is just to be made holy in God's sight. And number 8, justification, just means to be declared innocent, blameless. Reconciliation is just to be brought fully into friendship with God, atonement or at-one-ment. And because of all of those, it brings on a new identification for us. So basically, you know, in a nutshell, we are all holy saints who have been forgiven, who are innocent, and who are friends of God. I mean, that's the core of the gospel. You are holy, you are blameless, you are innocent, and you are a friend of God's. So I just want to say, you know, do you believe that? If you believe that, awesome. If you don't, claim it. You know, put it in here because it's all been done for us. We don't have to guess where our fate is. So that's all we've got. We're done. But we're going to let you break out into your groups. And I think we'll come back in about 20 minutes.
Yeah. And typically when we break up into groups,